welcome to Overtime Hockey Talk. My name is Mark Paul, Justin Baker, my co-host, and it has been a crazy couple days with some monstrous trades like Juuse Jokinen. I like to call him Juuse Jokinen.
Juuse.
For Mike Camilleri.
Some juicy news.
Some juicy news. And then Louis Domingue traded for our favorite 2010 goaltender, Michael Layton.
Oh.
Somebody else was in that trade too, but it doesn't matter because Michael Layton was in that trade.
36-year-old Michael Layton.
Yes. All right. And now that Layton is on the Coyotes, they will win a 5-on-5 game with him in the net. That is my prediction.
He's not even going to see time in Arizona.
Oh, okay. Of course he is. Of course he is. Yeah. I mean the biggest trade is the Camilleri for Juuse Jokinen.
Yeah.
And it was about as even as a deal I think as you can get. You're basically trading a guy who only plays in the top six in Camilleri.
Camilleri, yeah.
And a Jokinen now who only plays in the bottom six and is like a shootout specialist.
Yeah.
And I think Jokinen made $1.1 million. Camilleri made $1
million. Was it? I thought it was $1.1, but yeah, you're probably right. It is.
So a pretty even trade across there. Definitely more potential for the Oilers in Camilleri than I think Jokinen for the Kings.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, clearly they needed somebody to play on the wing with Connor McDavid, and that's what they're going to try, I would assume.
Yeah.
Because no one else is doing it besides Draisaitl, and they got to split those guys up, honestly.
Or will they have Draisaitl and McDavid and Camilleri?
Ooh. Let's
see what can happen.
There's a possibility.
Yeah, if Mike Camilleri can keep up with him, and he's a good skater. Defensively, he's pretty suspect, but...
Yeah, and I think they knew that, I mean, without a doubt. And it's kind of the opposite, too, with Juuse. I think they took him on and thinking he was going to provide a little bit more defensive end to that.
Yeah, and I just don't think that they... I don't think he fit all that well.
No.
And they need the offense. It just kind of is a perfect storm for the Kings. I mean, Camilleri had been benched, and so and he was playing minimal minutes when he actually was getting in. I think the most that he played was like 11:25 or something like that in a game. And so I think as his minutes decreased and he was a healthy scratch, it was pretty clear they couldn't get him into the top six in L.A., especially because I don't think that they were thinking that Dustin Brown was going to be as good as he has been.
No.
And so there's just been a lot of developments that have happened for the Kings where they don't even have a use for Camilleri, but
he's become expendable.
They need some bottom six guys.
Yes.
And that's where Jokinen comes in, and I think both players will fit in nicely. Camilleri will have a greater impact on the score sheet. So we'll see.
Yeah, 7 points through 15 games, too, so not really that bad.
Right, and not playing all that much yet. I mean, for the Devils last year, it's not like he was a slouch.
No.
Maybe back in the day, you know, back when, like, there was no salary cap, as a veteran coming off a good season, he probably would have gotten $4 or $5 million. But nowadays, even if a veteran has a good year, you go, you might not next year, so we'll give you $1 million.
Right.
And that's pretty much how it works. Camilleri's been a pretty consistent guy over the course of his career.
Yeah, for the most part. Can't complain about his production, that's for sure.
No, especially as a second-line guy. There was some mayhem in Detroit. That was on our Twitter, at OT Hockey Talk. We had a friend of the show, Mitch Pardo. He was there, and he sent me video of the bench clearing brawl. I don't know if you call it bench clearing, although Luke Witkowski suspended for 10 games after clearing the bench, right?
Left the bench to come back on the ice and just give a couple gentle nudges, and then it
dumb.
Just started everything.
Dumb.
I know.
But yeah, so that has not happened in a little while. When's the last time I remember a bench clearing brawl like that?
Yeah.
Maybe not this season, at least not this season, right?
I don't even remember any last year that come to mind anyways. I mean, it probably happened once, but...
Yeah, like line or fights where like the whole line is fighting, but not where guys are coming off the bench to fight.
Right.
Or it was just weird, the scenario that happened, because it happened so close to the bench and the door opened up and you had guys that it almost looked like people were going to fall through into the door and... Like, you weren't sure who was actually on the ice and who wasn't.
That was great.
It would be tough not to, you know, if a guy falls into your bench during a fight, it'd be tough not to just give
spear
him a little shot.
Oh,
spear him.
Yeah. Butt under your stick.
Oh, my.
Just give him a jab. Yeah, because Travis Hamonic was not thrilled about laying on the bottom of that bench. Anthony Mantha, six foot five, 220 pounds. That man on top of him, he just laid into him a little bit, and that was interesting to watch. Interesting to watch for sure. And I know Calgary didn't. The whole thing started because Calgary really didn't like the way Wachowski took extra liberties on their guy. I can't remember what his name was, but he had him on the ground. He was kind of like picking him up and slamming him down a couple extra times. You know, little shoves, but nothing really to whine about. But
I mean, a loss in the fight is the fact that the Wings destroyed the Flames, winning 8-2.
I think that has part of it to do with the fact of why the fight actually occurred. You know, you're getting beat so badly.
Right. You're just pissed.
Yeah.
And you really, you stop caring. You know, you're not worried about getting kicked out of a game.
No.
Because although now Luke Witkowski won't be able to play in 10 of them, although sitting on the fourth line for the Red Wings, his impact on a game is pretty minimal, and I think there's enough guys that they can slot in there. But Red Wings winning 8-2, and that's the most goals that they have scored in some time.
Yeah, first time I think since 2014 they scored 4 power play goals in a game too.
Oh, okay.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. For the Wings power play to look good against, I mean, and the Flames haven't been bad. They just haven't. They haven't been good.
They've been consistently good.
They've been about the Flames.
Yeah.
They've been fine. I would say they've been fine.
Yeah.
They're outside of the playoff picture, but they're fine. They definitely still have the opportunity to do some things. Oh, no, actually, they are in the playoff picture, but they're tied with Chicago.
Yeah. More than anything, though, for me, I mean, as a Wings fan personally, I love the fact that Anthony Seau, Mantha, and Larkin were lighting up the score sheet. The three of them looked dynamic.
And you got to like the Abdelkader scored, too.
Oh, yeah. That's,
I mean, really,
nice
there's
too.
the four guys, other than Zetterberg, that – you need to score consistently if the Wings are going to win. And it's strange, but you look at the Eastern Conference standings and the way that things are kind of shaken out. Well, I don't think that the Wings will be there in the end. It is at least they are playing better than what I expected to see out of them.
Yeah, absolutely. They look better this year than I think they did last year.
I agree.
Yeah.
Even though last year, in the beginning, I think they had a 6-game winning streak really early on. And that was what kind of, I think, fraudulently put them in a playoff picture. And so the expectations were higher.
Sure.
Whereas if you just go back and you look at that season as a whole, it was a disaster. And there should have been such lower expectations on that team to begin with. And maybe that's why they're playing pretty good hockey, pretty loose.
Yeah.
Nobody
expects them to get in.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so some teams are underestimating them. But, man, to underestimate the as a unit, as a whole team, I still think that they're bottom fourth of the league, of the East.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest, that defense still worries me. I don't have a whole lot of confidence outside of Mike Green to do anything on that defense. Danny DeKeyser, maybe, you know, still a quality guy. Daly's been all right as a solid, you know, 3-4 defenseman. But to me, when you look at that defense, it's just not enough to make me feel confident about them consistently playing well on defense for the rest of the year. And then same goes with that offense, too. Yeah, the kids are playing great. You know, Mantha has a point per game going on, 19 through 19 right now. And Larkin, 18
awesome.
Points through 19 games. Yeah, awesome. Like, way more than I expected those guys to do this year.
This is what I think a lot of people thought that we would see out of Larkin last year.
Yeah.
You
Absolutely.
Know, his progression as a player. And sometimes that just doesn't – it's not always linear. It's not like every year you're going to have a career year.
Right.
It does take some time for younger players to develop. And,
yeah. And what's encouraging, too, is the fact that Larkin's doing it at center where they wanted him to be. And a lot of people thought after last year, was he going to pan out at center, or were they going to have to permanently put him on the wings? And then for Mantha, too, as well, like last night's game especially, I like the fact that he's scoring goals in those dirty, low areas in front of the net. Like, he's using his big 6'5" frame to go in. His hands are silky smooth and put that puck in the net.
You know who he kind of reminds me of a little bit?
Who?
Is actually James Van Riemsdyk.
A little bit,
with
huh?
With his ability to get the puck in front of the net, nice deflections, he's got good hands. Not necessarily the greatest skater.
Yeah.
But really good hands when he gets the puck in front of the net.
Yeah,
and
fast
willing
enough
to go there. And a big guy, but at the same time, You're not seeing Mantha throw monster body checks.
No.
You know, he uses his size to protect the puck, almost like Jager or, you know, some of the bigger superstars where they aren't ever throwing body checks.
Well, I mean,
they're not using their body all that often.
He gets to play with Zetterberg, who is fantastic at protecting the puck.
Yep, yep. So, a smaller guy good at protecting the puck. Yeah, so, yeah, he does remind me of JVR in
a
lot of ways.
Bad name to be compared to.
Which, hey, if you get consistently every year out of Mantha, you get 25 goals and
50, 60 points,
which I think that maybe, I mean, remember, JVR was second overall in that draft.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
When he was taken in that draft. So, JVR was very highly touted. Would he go second overall in that draft if we could redo it? No. But he was known as a goal scorer, and that's what he was. And that's what he is now. He's pretty much a pure goal scorer. Right? Even this season, he's on pace to score over 30 goals.
That many? Wow.
And he's doing it. He's a power play specialist, but they're limiting his 5-on-5 time. I was seeing he's only getting like 11 minutes of 5-on-5 a game right now, and then he gets all the power play time. So, but well, yeah, no, I like what I'm seeing out of Detroit.
It's encouraging.
Yeah, I definitely would be encouraged as a Red Wings. I don't think that it's time to set your expectations for playoffs.
No.
But as a fan, I understand. You always have this thing in the back of your heart, like, if we could just do this and this and these things go right, maybe we could squeak in. And it would just be fun. Like,
yeah.
You would have no expectations for winning a round, but if you could squeak in, it'd be fun. I still think that this organization has to look to the long term. And at the trade deadline, they need to get something for Mike Green. They need to move the pieces that they can move now, and it'll be at that point that they probably fall off a little bit. Once these games get a little tighter, and I think that you'll see that the Red Wings will probably fizzle out. But we all did not think that the New Jersey Devils after 17 games would be in first place. So
they're still there.
There's certainly things can change in a hurry. The Buffalo Sabres continue to struggle, but Jack Eichel finally scores.
Finally. You know who else finally scored the other day, too, is Sebastian Aho.
Yes, I did see that.
Oh, my God. And it was not a bad goal, either.
Somebody just told me I just dropped him in my fantasy pool, and then he scored the next night. So
that's all he needed.
Yeah. You know, Jack Eichel, when you look at his production so far, after he signs this monster deal, 10 years, $80 million, does it not make you?
Did you say 10 years and $80 million?
I'm sorry, 8 years, $80 million.
I'm like, how would he sign for $8 million?
My bad.
That's a bargain.
Yeah, a bargain. Yeah, it would be. Well, it's starting to look like it might not be.
Well, yeah, I guess so. But.
I know it's an 18 game sample size. There's a pretty bad team around him. It doesn't change his talent level, but you look at, you look at Connor McDavid, who comes into the Oilers, where the Oilers were a brutal team the year before, and takes them all the way to the second round, and he's making 12.5. And this guy's going to get $10 million. He hasn't even played a full season.
No. Yeah, I mean, I guess when you get guys like, supposedly guys like Jack Eichel, who are supposed to be franchise type players, you have to pay them for what you think they're going to do at this point.
Absolutely. And you would rather pay a guy in these years than you would, you know, pay a guy like TJ Oshie, where you know he maybe has two or three good years, and then after that
and you're wasting 4 years of his contract.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's brutal. I still cringe at that deal. I don't know how they could have. But I cringe at the Lucic deal, too. And
the Lucic deal is maybe worse.
Yeah.
They were just doing everything they could just to bring in talent.
I know.
Whether that talent was expired 3 years prior.
Yeah. Should have stayed in L.A.
Arizona sets an NHL record for going 20 games without a win in regulation.
I don't understand how you do that. Like, that just almost seems impossible to me. In 20 games, you can't win once in regulation.
They've gone a quarter of a season. And they have two wins to show for it.
They're on pace for 8 wins at this point.
Which would tie the worst
Yeah.
worst record in history. I believe it's 8
The Caps with 8 wins.
And 9 or so, or 65 and 7 or something like that.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's brutal. They are 1-6-1 at home and 1-9-2 on the road.
Wow. Well, I guess they need a.
They've given up 79 goals. Do you know what team is the next closest? The Buffalo Sabres. Oh, no, actually, the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah.
And they're third place in their division.
But they can score goals.
Because, yeah, they can score. They have 55 goals as opposed to the Coyotes' 46. They've only scored 9 more goals than the Coyotes.
Yeah, well, I blame that goal differential on Niemi.
Niemi. Now, yeah, if we go through the league roster and we go to Florida and we look at how many goals he gave up when he was there, and then we look at the Penguins. Yeah, the Penguins, I mean, they'd be about even, I think, if it weren't
for... Yeah, you could take off a quarter of those goals for Niemi right there.
For Niemi. Which, speaking of Niemi, he's going to Montreal.
Yeah, I know. I had to text you.
I know.
Shocked. I literally did not know what to say. There was no reason. And then the funny thing is I immediately get in the car and I'm driving home from lunch at work but driving to work from lunch and listen to NHL radio and everybody's just like, what is going on? I don't understand what's wrong with the league. What is the mindset behind this?
My question would be that it's not necessarily, I mean, it's easy to understand what Montreal is doing. They're going, okay, Carey Price is out. I mean, the Canadiens literally had a press conference with Carey Price when they announced him because they didn't want this to be like 2 years ago where they were like, no, he'll be fine. He'll be back in a few days. He'll be back in a couple weeks. And it took months before they actually came out and said, actually, he's going to miss the year. So they come out in this press conference and essentially say, look, this isn't the same injury. And so that's good to know for Canadians fans and really for the league. And the league's a better place with Carey Price in it.
League's always a better place with your superstars.
Superstars.
In it. Yeah.
So it's not the same injury that he was dealing with before. So that's good. That means that it's not something that's become nagging. But it is something that they're really not sure how long he'll be out. But he's not going to miss the season. They're just being very cautious. Do you realize that his new deal, it hasn't kicked in yet. It doesn't kick in until next year.
Yeah.
So you've got 8 years left with this guy. And so to me, this is, we are going to protect him to the nth degree because we can afford a bad season. We can't afford the next 8 years to just
pay a guy
terrible money.
Yeah, so I get that.
Yeah, so I think they're bringing in someone with NHL experience. My question is this. There's no one else, really? there's not another guy that you could go out. No other team is willing to go, look, hey, we'll basically give you this guy for free. There's no other goalies out there that you could go to. You don't have a goalie in the ECHL. Someone doesn't have, like, Ilya Brizgalov isn't willing to come over and play.
Don't even joke about that. That's a fantasy of mine right now.
Tommy Salo. Still, I don't know why it's a thought of Tommy Salo.
I guarantee if you called Dominic Hasek, he'd want to come back and play.
Yeah, call Dominator.
He's 50, but he'd still play.
What about Brodeur? Here's the crazy. Okay, Brodeur, when he was, quote, falling apart and didn't look good. Remember he signed with the Blues for a hot second? And he didn't look that good. I think his goals against average was like a 3.5.
For a second.
And we're all going, oh, man, he's terrible now. He can't play anymore. And Niemi's is a 6.7, but we still think he can play. And he's actually the worst regular season goaltender of the last 3 years.
There's no excuse for that. I don't.
So are you really going to actually play him in a game?
There's so many.
Because Montoya's out now.
Yeah.
And the kid that
they don't even know when he's going to be back.
There's no one else?
Week to week for Montoya, too. Yeah. Literally, at what point do you maybe say, hey, are we going to completely bail on this season because we don't know what's up with Carey Price and Montoya? Yeah. Again, still like the guy's a backup, but he's not a starter, and he couldn't carry the workload in that team anyways, even if they had to rely on him. But at what point can you not go to another team and be like, let's make a deal. Let's trade for someone. I mean, literally, look at Louis Domingue and Michael Lehtonen.
Carey, do you have a brother or something?
Yeah. I mean,
can we borrow someone?
Louis Domingue got put on waivers to be traded. They could have snagged him up for nothing, for zilch, and he would have been a thousand times better than Niemi.
Or what about the, I mean, the Leafs have Calvin Pickard in their minor league system.
Yeah.
That they acquired for a sixth
and
round
Sparks
pick.
And all these guys, again, that I would still
I would take
over
Niemi. Yes, in a heartbeat. Instead, I mean, hey, Charlie Lindgren's look good. He's 5-3-1. He's got a 1.39 goals against average. He's let in 7 goals in the 5 games, a 9.57 save percentage.
Yeah, he was hot those first 2-3 games. But, and again, too, like their reasoning was, again, yeah, we've got injuries. We need somebody back there to man the net in case, you know, we get it, we start looking like Las Vegas.
Well, they already look like them.
Well, they're starting, yeah.
They're about to be on their fourth goalie,
oh,
and we're 20 games in. They just started their – they didn't even start him, but they played their fifth goalie. Looks like they might have to start him.
Zach Bucalli or whatever.
Oh, you're talking about the Canadian – I was talking about the Vegas.
Oh,
Knights.
Vegas, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, Vegas
sorry.
Is going to have to start their fifth. Dylan
– Ferguson.
Ferguson.
Yeah. But
so
I mean, okay, so I don't. There another reason they gave that they went after Niemi is they want somebody with veteran experience back there.
And there's a guy that once said, "They have experience, but it's bad experience."
It's
I don't know who
terrible. Experience.
I don't know who said that. I don't know who could have said
and
that
I get
in
it.
A debate.
Niemi has a Stanley Cup ring. Not a lot of goalies can say that, but that's. You can't. You just can't.
So does Grant Fuhr, but they're not signing him.
There's lots of goalies with Stanley Cup rings that I would, again, sign before this guy. But
yeah, hopefully for their sake, he doesn't ever have to play. Or, okay, maybe there's some redeeming, some redemption here. Maybe he could come in and he could win a game.
Okay, question for you. What's the over-under on how many teams Niemi plays for this year? It's at 3 already.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
Where's this stop?
He's going to get put on waivers again. 100%.
Oh, the minute Montoya 100%. Or Carey Price
because
comes
Price
back?
Is going to come back. And why would you want to... I guess you could say maybe you keep Niemi as your backup, and then you have Charlie Lindgren, who at this point is still able to go through waivers.
Right.
And so...
You put him down so he can get more playing
time. You send him down, and then if Price needs a rest, do you bring up Charlie Lindgren and then... Just put Carey Price on the bench and then healthy scratch Niemi. But you have Niemi on the bench and he's just a placeholder, essentially. He's never playing a game, but he sits on your bench. That would be poison, wouldn't it?
That's rough.
Yeah, or the maybe the more likely is they go, hey, we have a good backup in Charlie Lindgren and we don't want to play Price 66 games. So I think I was reading there's only been goalies over the age of 31, there's only been a handful of guys who have played more than 66 games in a season, and that's what Lundqvist did. It played 65 once, and I was reading something that was talking about how goaltenders don't generally later in their career play a lot of games, play more than 68 or 66 games.
Yeah,
and Price has been doing that. And so the Canadians are going to have to figure out this backup goalie position because he's playing too many games, and it's clear he's getting hurt frequently.
Go get the Hamburglar out of Colorado.
Hey.
Call him up.
Hey.
He salvaged Ottawa season 1 year. Maybe he can do it for the Canadians.
Wow. Play over on the other side of Quebec. Yeah, well, we'll see what happens with that scenario. And okay, you said over under Niemi. Well, let's see. Right now, he's been on 3 teams now, right?
Yeah, over-under for
first
4.
20 games.
Let's do 4.
Over-under for 4 teams. Could this happen to him twice? I'm going to say over.
Wow.
I'm going to say he goes and plays. Now, do we count AHL teams that he ends up in?
There you go. That's another good question. Wow. I say no, just NHL teams.
Okay, I'll say...
Whether they're in the AHL or NHL system, basically.
I'm going to say 5.
5, wow.
I would say over 4. Over 4 is what
I say he gets picked up by one more team, but.
And Montreal will dump him. He'll get picked up by somebody else. Yeah. Now, if he plays and he like happens to be okay, somebody might go, we need him. We'll just take him. Hey, he's going on a really cool tour.
Yeah.
It's really like he's on a goalie tour, just playing in different cities with different shirts on. It's great. The Ducks, beat the Bruins last night, and the Bruins are struggling. They lose twice to an Austin Matthews-less Leafs team, and then go into Anaheim, and they crap the bed there. I think, they had three shots on goal, Anaheim, in like the second period, and they scored twice.
It was that bad.
So is it Tuukka Rask? Is it that, you know, what's going on with the Bruins? It does not look like the Bruins are going to be able to salvage this to me.
And they couldn't do it against the Anaheim team that had no Getzlaff, Kessler,
right.
Fowler.
And
that,
yeah,
I mean,
that's the thing. Yeah. They're losing to teams that don't even have their best players.
Right. Those are games as a team trying to get into playoffs, you have to win.
And they're on the Western road trip right now. They're going to play L.A.
Yeah,
and then they're going to play
San Jose. Those are not going to go any better for
them.
Those
are not easy games. So, to me, when I look at the standings, I know that American Thanksgiving, we're 1 week away from Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And American Thanksgiving is that time where it's something like 80 or 85% chance of making the playoffs if you're in the playoffs at Thanksgiving. So when I look at this and I see Boston, they're only 4 points out, but you have to jump six teams to get into the playoffs. So that means that out of all the six teams ahead of you, all of them have to lose in order for you to jump that. That takes a while. It takes a little bit of time to make up those points, especially when you can lose in overtime and still pick up a point. The fact that Montreal, who struggled mightily early on, they've kind of come on better the last 10 games, 6-3-1. But the Bruins are, to me, them, the Panthers, and the Sabres are all completely cooked. They're done.
That's ballsy to say.
I don't even really bother watching their games. A, they're not all three of those teams. They're not all that fun to watch. All three teams are bad. But I don't think any of those teams really have a shot to make the playoffs.
Yeah. At what point? I mean, if you're a team like, for instance, Buffalo, do you just say, "Hey, this season's a wash. We're not getting anywhere. Maybe let's start looking at unloading some of these assets, some of these guys that, you know, hey, we can get good return onto a team." Well,
they have to trade Kane, right?
They absolutely
have to.
Kane's
a free agent at the end of
this
year.
Yeah, he's going to walk. No way do you want to. I mean,
yeah, he's playing his heart out. He's really been the only bright spot. You know, do you know the one player who has more 5-on-5 goals since, I think it was like the 30th game of the season last year? And it's Austin Matthews.
Oh, okay.
Austin Matthews has 32 5-on-5 goals.
Wow.
Since a certain point. Yeah. And then Kane is 31.
That's impressive.
So he's on a real good streak right now. And if I were a team looking to add goal scoring, I don't want to wait until the end of February.
Right.
I'm going and I'm getting this guy before Christmas.
Get him acclimated in your system quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, he's going to have an impact all season long. I mean, to me, the Buffalo season is done anyways.
Yeah.
I know, like, obviously there can always be that team that goes on, you know, an 8-2 run and suddenly you're in the playoffs position. But I don't see it for this team. They don't look good in any aspect. They're defensively, they're bad. Offensively, they can't score. They're not getting great goaltending. They've gotten decent spurts from Robin Leonard, but
no, and he's on a one-year show-me deal, and he has showed nothing.
Showed nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he going to be a guy that, you know, we saw Mason and Elliott and Mike Smith, and like these guys kind of shift
teams.
You know, is Robin Lehner going to be one of those guys where finally they go, okay, he's getting out of Buffalo, and he's going to go somewhere else. I'm not sure if he's an unrestricted free agent or if he's just a free agent with arbitration rights. It would be his last
That's
year.
That's a very good question. Let's RFA. Take a look. But I'll tell you what, to me, right now, just thinking off the top of my head, Evander Kane is going to look real good if he gets traded to San Jose.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, and San Jose, if they're going to do something, it should probably be this year.
Yeah.
They're looking better. That Pacific division is like you lose one game and you can go from third spot in your division out of the playoffs almost.
Right.
Everything's pretty tight in the West. I think because of how bad Arizona is, there's been a few more points distributed throughout the conference. So everything's a little tighter than it is in the East because of that. The Oilers, 4 points out, but then you have a couple teams that are more than six in the East.
And Robert Lehner, by the way, he's a restricted free agent.
Okay, yeah, so he has his arbitration rights. But you could see them move him too.
Yeah, I'll tell you who wouldn't shock me. This would be a good spot for a guy like the Wings to unload Peter Mrazek to.
Yeah, and
not
that's,
make a swap and goal, but just trade Mrazek to Buffalo.
Oh, there you go.
Because Mrazek obviously wants to be a starter somewhere, and he's put up pretty decent numbers this year.
He's played well. I mean, imagine if Montreal just said, hey, let's just go get a guy like Mrazek.
Yeah.
You'd have to give up something reasonable for him. Although, the Wings left him open in the expansion draft, so it's not like...
Well, his numbers looked terrible last year. He looked like...
The team also looked pretty terrible last year.
And Mrazek's in that show-me-year deal, too, where he wants to get paid next year when his contract's up. And, you know, if he goes somewhere like you said, Montreal, and starts lighting it up and gets them back in the playoff picture, I mean, obviously Montreal's not going to pay him to stick around, but they could dump him off if Carey Price comes back healthy and trade him to a team and get a good return on him. So,
yep, very true.
Yeah.
Has there been a better team than the Jets over the last 3 weeks?
No, they're my favorite team to watch.
They are fun to watch, yes. That is very true. I guess the only team better is Tampa.
Well,
Tampa Bay is kind of
in the league anymore.
Yeah, they're kind of on that. It's funny, every single, you know, different sites do their power rankings, and I think that the last like 3 or 4 weeks has been Tampa's still at the top. Like you said that last week. You just sort of worded it a little differently. Tampa's good. This just in. They have a few good goal scorers.
A few good goal scorers.
Nikita Kucherov is it 18 goals now, and
let's pull
16
this up.
16 and 18. I also do appreciate how Philadelphia is just can't figure out how to score.
Kucherov 16 goals in 18 games.
16 and 18, yeah. Can you what to you? I've heard this discussion many times lately because of what he's been doing. What's the new 50 and 50 to you?
The new 50 and 50?
Because no one's getting 50 and 50. It's just
The league's not built like that anymore.
It's impossible. Nobody's even come close. But what's the, 25 and 25 or 30 and 30?
Yeah, I think 25 and 25 is more than doable, especially if you get off to a hot start. Guys typically do to start
the year
off.
Ovechkin scored 7 goals in the first 2 games. I think he had 10 goals in the first 4 games, was it?
Yeah.
So, and he's, I think he only has 13 or 14 goals now. He can catch fire anytime, but
yeah, he's got 13.
Yeah, it's so difficult to maintain your goal scoring over the and I think that almost if you're gonna score that kind of pace, it almost has to be early on because you're so fresh.
Yeah,
and teams are playing a little looser.
But like you said, yeah, I think guys get off to hot starts, and 25 and 25 is definitely doable, for sure.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, although we haven't seen it.
No.
Kucherov's
got a good chance of it, though, if he gets a couple good games.
He would need to have some tremendous games. Yeah. 9 goals in 7 games, it's certainly possible.
Oh, yeah.
But he's going to have to light the lamp.
Johan Franzen did it in the playoffs against Colorado. He put up 9 goals in, 4 games.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, hey. Johan Franzen back when he was dominant.
Oh, my gosh. He was something else.
You want to talk about a guy using his body for space. That was Franz, and it sucks about the concussion. Actually, I saw something. It was a football study,
mm-hmm.
But there's CTE. I'm not even going to try to remember what the acronym stands for, but it's essentially a condition brought on by multiple blows to the head over the course of time, many years, and they've only been able to find it in people that have died. So they were able to find it in the autopsies, but they aren't able to actually figure out if somebody has it when they're alive.
Yeah.
And a story broke, and a scientist studying NFL players was actually able to identify the protein that is in the brain that identifies the CTE in a living person, which is enormous for all these people that have sustained concussions over the course of their whole careers playing football or hockey or whatever sport it is. And so now, because of this, we should be able to help people that
before it gets too bad.
Right. And the CTE was in, this was talking about football, but like Junior Seau and different guys that have committed suicide.
Right.
But it's also happened in different hockey players that have committed suicide, like Wade Belak and trying to remember the other one. But anyways, that's huge though. As far as just figuring out, we need to learn more about concussions because the game is so fast.
I probably have a concussion. I mean, we're being honest.
I'm sure I've had I know I've had concussions, but I was a kid when I had it. Like I got thrown up and dropped on my head and
perfect.
Just doing something stupid.
Explained so much.
Yeah, I know, right? That's so true. Anytime I can't remember anything, I'm just gonna go, that time I was dropped on my head.
Not to make light of the situation, but that's awesome news though, for sure. I mean, even though I'm not a parent, but as a parent, stuff like that's got to be comforting to you because if your kids obviously want to go out and play sports and stuff, you can feel a little bit more comfortable to tell them, yeah, it's okay, go ahead.
Right. You know. Well, and if we can diagnose, then once we've figured out what's causing something, we can figure out
how to cure it. Yeah.
And so if we can come up with a faster solution to healing concussions, or we can at least look at a concussion in a brain and be able to go, okay, we can see that it, you know, whatever damage is lessening. Once we can figure that out and we can make things faster healing, then I think that the game of hockey, especially football is kind of you're running into people for a living.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different of an animal. But as far as hockey goes, I mean, you're moving so fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a hesitation to make the game any faster because if it gets any faster, concussions are going to keep going up. Concussions have gone up since the games have become faster. And so, but we don't want to make the game slower.
Right.
Even though there'd probably be less concussions.
Yeah. Cause it's not as entertaining.
It's not as entertaining. And that's why people get paid so much money. I mean, it's the same thing as, what's that show where the people, Big Catch or something like that, where people go out and they go and they catch the different fish and they get paid a ton of money to do it, but it's super dangerous and they put their life on the line. Okay. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah. Like ice road truckers too.
I mean, those jobs pay a lot because you're putting your life on the line. Any job where you are risking your physical health, you're going to get paid a little bit more. But you know what you're risking.
Right. It's no mystery going in.
Right, right. Anything you want to hit on before we close up the show?
Before we close it up, maybe talk about some upcoming games.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Any games that you've been looking forward to? I know for me, we're recording on a Thursday.
I was just about to say the same game here.
So there's games coming up. By the time you listen to this, the Leafs will have already hopefully beaten the Devils. A rematch of Leafs Devils, no Austin Matthews, but Nikita Soshnikov, who we talked about last show, is going to get his opening season start.
Debut.
And Mike Babcock actually did give a little bit of insight into Soshnikov, and he said he played really, he looked good last year, and he got hurt, and then they actually told him in training camp, we're not going to have you start up here. We're going to send you down, and we want you to work on your game. And when you're ready, we'll bring you up. And he said, and obviously there's a little bit of, they didn't have much of a choice, but he did say, we had this date on the calendar. Like, we knew that this contract was coming up, but he deserves to be up here. Otherwise, he wouldn't be up here, which I think is true.
Respect.
I mean, if he sucked, He came into and the first 20 games of the season, he wasn't playing well. I think they would have gone, if you want to go, you can go.
Right.
But he's been playing well for the Marlies. They bring him up. He's getting a shot tonight. I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Friday night, we got the Rangers at Columbus. That'll be a tantalizing game. Rangers on the up and up, looking in a positive direction. And
is it tantalizing or titillizing?
Titillizing. Yeah, thank you for autocorrect, Mark. Yeah, so that'll be a good game to watch. And I know Columbus too. They've been rumored to have been in search of some good offensive help. They were trying to get in on the Matt Duchene deal originally. I know they were looking to. They're open to getting rid of Ryan Murray at this point.
I feel like everyone's coming out being like, yeah, we were in on Matt Duchene. Right. We almost had him.
What was it? Darren Dreger, I saw. He was on TSN. They had a list of teams looking for offensive help, and they put Tampa Bay on there. Like, the top 10 teams looking for offensive help. I'm like, are you serious right now?
Apparently everyone's looking for offensive help.
Yeah, and they said, well, they need help past that first and second line. Someone to play in the wing with Tyler Johnson.
Which is true. It's funny that Tyler Johnson is
third line in it now.
Yeah.
After they just paid him.
You know, a game that interests me, is a 2 p.m. game on Saturday.
Oh.
And it's the Oilers and the Stars. The reason why it interests me is just because both teams have kind of underperformed,
mm-hmm.
but both teams have an offense that I think has the ability to dazzle.
Sure.
So yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing maybe a little bit of a shootout.
Ooh,
in that game.
That would be nice.
Not going to a shootout, but a game with lots of goals. that's what I mean by that.
So we're looking for a
You know what? Is Saturday
what?
Hockey night hockey day in Canada or something?
Or hockey day in
America?
There's
a Flames game at 1 or hockey day in America maybe? Yeah, I don't know. There's a Flames game at 1 and an Oilers game at 2, and then there's a Jets game at 3. And the Leafs game at 7, and then Canucks game at 10.
Or maybe it's all coincidental, but who knows?
Perhaps.
Yeah. Well, anyways, and then how about Sunday? Let's look at some games then. What is going on Sunday?
Good old Avs. Avs Red Wings. There's rekindle that rivalry. Hey, the Red Wings just had one bench-clearing brawl. Why not another one with their former rivals?
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm not going to comment on that, but yeah, I don't really think there's many games that I'm excited to see on Sunday, honestly.
Oh, the Kings and the Golden Knights, I suppose.
That might be all right. The Kings have been on a little bit of a slide lately.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, they'll be okay.
Kopitar has just been hot.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, 22 points right now.
Yeah, and then we got... You know, some action on Monday, but we won't get to that till
Monday.
We'll
get that on Monday.
Yeah.
You know, I have a fascination with the Islanders this year. I really like them.
An interesting team.
I've said that a few times on
you
the
have.
Show. And
just anytime, like my love for the Winnipeg Jets.
They're kind of like anytime there's not a game that I'm super interested in, I'm just going to go watch the Islanders. There's something entertaining about them because they're not. They can be really good, and then they can not be really good, but that can all happen in one game, so it can make for some pretty exciting hockey.
Yeah.
Some of the worst part about hockey is how much the game is coached. In my, like, I understand why it's coached the way that it is.
Yeah.
But teams that play a little bit looser,
mm-hmm.
they're sometimes a little more fun because you're a little less coached, so it's players making decisions. And I'm not saying that that's what's happening on the island. But
I actually kind of like it when coaches trust the players to just be themselves a little bit more. It's kind of like football. I mean, if you look at, for instance, the Patriots, right? Bill Belichick, he has his systems. He has his way of coaching. But guys like Tom Brady, the good ones, you let them do whatever they want because they're going to go out and they're going to do the right stuff. And I don't know. Maybe
that's what's happening. Maybe John Tavares has a little more freedom.
Right.
Yeah.
Dougie Waite's like, you know what? You're all class. You're one of those guys, like, yeah, go out and just do whatever you want.
He's killing it. 13 goals.
Seriously.
And he's done it consistently, scoring a goal here, scoring a goal here.
Yep. And I thank you for being on my fantasy team.
There you go. There you go. My fantasy team has been playing better now that I've been starting my lineup.
Now, I might get my first loss this week. I'm down a few points right now, so.
I think I'm about to be 3-3.
Ooh, all right.
Ah.
There it is.
Helps when you start your lineup. But I actually have 4 goaltenders.
Do you really?
But I can't very well drop any of them. I have Martin Jones. I have Jonathan Quick.
Yeah, you can't drop either one of those guys.
2 other really good goalies. I just can't think of who else I have.
Really quick. But it's funny, actually. I looked the other day at our fantasy available players at goaltender specifically because Mike Smith is hurt right now. And I was thinking, well, maybe there's a guy that I could go pick up. But after looking at it, I mean, I don't think anybody was really there. I know somebody just put Scott Darling on waivers in our league, but
He hasn't played all that great either.
Yeah, he's been mediocre at best, and it kills me to say that. But
it sounds like we might need to make a trade.
Right.
Because I have four goalies, and I actually have only three defensemen. Because
I have some good defensemen.
Oh, wow.
I have Shattenkirk.
I think I may have found
I have Klingberg, Mike Green. I have I have the top scoring.
You scooped
I have
him.
The Ghost. I mean, okay. I've got the good D. Got some good D.
Yeah, we'll talk trades here.
We could do that.
Yeah,
so if I want to go free agent route, I mean, it's Luongo, Markstrom, Varlamov. Those are my options, and they're not very good options.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Well, we'll talk trade after the show.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
We'll discuss it.
Yeah, well, have a great weekend. Thank you for joining us on Overtime Hockey Talk. You can find us at OT Hockey Talk on Twitter and at OTHockeyTalk.com. I'm Mark Paul.
And I'm Justin Baker.
Wow, have a great weekend.